This week on Global Print, I'm going to talk to you about the visit of the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken to India. He arrived on Tuesday evening. He leaves on
Wednesday
evening, so just over 24 hours or so. A very important visit for India and also for the U.S. On the agenda, two big issues, the Quad, of which India and the U.S. are both members, along with Japan and Australia and Afghanistan. And both sides are discussing how to play a role in resolving the mayhem and the chaos that continues to unfold in that country. But before I talk to you much more in detail about these issues, dear viewer, I'd like to make an appeal to you. Please do click on the join button, become a member, subscribe to the print, pay just a little bit for our free, fair, objective and unhyphenated journalism, and you will see a wide array of options, of benefits open up to you. There are links both for an international audience as well as for a domestic one, so please do subscribe and pay a little bit. So back to my column, Global Print, in which I talk to you about the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit to India. Now, on the agenda, like I said, were two big issues, the Quad and Afghanistan, but there is also a third one, and the U.S. media has been playing this up quite a bit, which is that Mr. Blinken is going to raise the subject of the infringement of freedoms in India. Now, we don't know whether Mr. Blinken has indeed raised these issues with his counterpart, with Mr. Jaishankar, and with the Indian side. But let me say a couple of things here. The first is that on the eve of Blinken's visit, the Ministry of External Affairs issued a statement saying that India is a democratic country, is very proud of its democratic credentials, and will not tolerate any curbs on freedom of speech and expression. Now, obviously, nobody is looking at the finer print, which is the surveillance or the snooping that has been carried out as part of the Pegasus project. And you know that several journalists, academics, as well as politicians, their phones have been surveilled or snooped upon. Apart from that, there are all the cases of sedition and people being thrown into jail under the Terrorism Act. Now, like I said, we don't know whether Mr. Blinken is raising or has raised these issues with the Indian side. But in a sense, the Americans are also talking to their own domestic audience. And the Democrats, as you know, and the Democratic Party is very big on human rights violations, on the infringement of freedom of speech and expression. So these things matter to the Democratic voter base. So while the Americans are telling their own people back home that, yes, we are going to raise these issues with the Indian government is saying, hey, nobody needs to tell us what we should do because we are a democratic country. It is a free and fair elected government and no such thing is happening. So both sides are speaking to their own domestic audiences. And this is fascinating at a time when there is so much happening in the world and there's so much chaos, especially around these two big issues, China and Afghanistan. And this is where the Quad comes in. And that's why the visit of Antony Blinken is so interesting. Now, we know that both India, the US, Japan, and Australia are the four members of the Quad. This is very clearly an anti-China coalition, although each country pretends that China is not the primary focus, but it's clearly a coalition of partners. It's not an alliance. India doesn't like to be called an ally, but it's clearly something, a group, perhaps, if you want to call it that, to, within quotes, contain China. So Mr. Blinken, who knows, I mean, the world knows that Chinese troops are in eastern Ladakh. And for the last 1 year, India and Indian troops have been holding off these Chinese troops who violated the line of actual control and came into Ladakh over a year ago. So Mr. Blinken is probably here to shore up India, to support it, to encourage it, to say, don't give in to China. And you have our back. That is, India has US's back. And that is a very, very interesting development which has been in the offing for the last several weeks and months. But the second equally interesting development is on Afghanistan. Now, we know that over the last several weeks and over the last couple of global print columns, I've talked in detail about Afghanistan, dear viewer, and if you'd like, you can go back and hear those and read those columns, in which I've said that India has played a big role in Afghanistan these last 20 years. Now, in Afghanistan, we know that that the chaos that has been unfolding these last several weeks and months, despite the fact that the Taliban has promised the Americans that they will curtail the violence, of course, no such thing has happened. So what happens now? India is a very close friend of Afghanistan. It has invested in Afghanistan, not just economically, which is about $3 billion these last 20 years since the September 11, 2001 incidents. But it has a very strong friendship with the people of Afghanistan. So at this time, when Afghanistan needs all the help it can get, the Americans are leaving, the Russians are brokering a friendship with the Taliban, courtesy of Pakistan, the Afghans would like India to support it in any way possible, including with financial aid or weapons or in any other way. So this is the situation with as Antony Blinken comes to town and has these conversations with Prime Minister Modi and External Affairs Minister Jaishankar. Remember, though, that the US also needs India. It is the US understands that India is the only large country in the world that can potentially take on China. Of course, there is a big gap between India and China, including its economy. The Chinese are five times larger than India. So it's in many ways a much more powerful country than India. But the US also understands that India is not just a neighbor, a very large neighbor of China's, but it is potentially the only country that can take it on. So while the US needs India in the Quad, India also understands that the US is partnering with Pakistan on the Afghanistan scoreboard. So the Joe Biden administration, willing to hold its nose, bite its tongue, is not likely to tell the Modi government off on its human rights or its infringements on freedom of speech and expression, whether it's in the surveillance related to the Pegasus project, and we know that several journalists and academicians and politicians have been a part of that, or the arrest of civilians under terrorist cases or sedition cases. So I would argue that the US is not really going to tell the Indians off. And the reason they're not going to do that is because they understand that India is the only country that can potentially take on China, which is what the Americans are most concerned about at this point of time. So in a sense, the Modi's China gamble has paid off, which means that whatever else happens inside the country, the US is going to say, we'll deal with that another day. Today, we have to deal with China. I will end on this interesting note, which is that the Afghan National Security Advisor, Hamdullah Mohib, a few days ago was in London, where he met the former Pakistani Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif. Now, we know that Mr. Sharif was expelled from Pakistan. A case was cooked up against him relating to investments that he had made abroad, and according to the Pakistani government, he had not revealed those investments, which means he did not allegedly pay any tax on them. But be that as it may, Mr. Sharif is out of Pakistan. He's in exile in London, and he has a very, very bitter relationship with the Pakistani military establishment. So what is Mr. Mohib doing meeting Nawaz Sharif? My enemy's enemy is my friend. I think that's the lesson that Mr. Mohib is hinting at, and that's the lesson all of us in the region must learn, which is that even if Mr. Mohib and Mr. Nawaz Sharif are not going to be able to do too much together, because in Pakistan, it is the military establishment that holds all the cards. And this establishment is the one that is playing its game in Afghanistan. The civilian government doesn't matter as much. We know that very clearly. But in this case, what is Mr. Mohib telling us? If the Pakistan army's enemy is Nawaz Sharif, And if Mr. Muhib and the Pakistani military establishment have such a bitter relationship, then surely Nawaz Sharif and the Afghan government can perhaps in the future do something together. Whether or not something will happen, time will tell. And on this cliche, I will end my column this week. So, dear viewer, don't forget to join and click on the connect button, subscribe to the print, pay a little bit, and keep yourself informed with the print's free, fair, objective, and unhyphenated journalism. And thank you so much for watching.